This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, I have, as you can see, on top there, you're on your way to Nineveh or Tarshish. Now, you know, there's one Sunday school story, I think that is probably maybe next to Noah. It's probably the most well-known one, and it is of Jonah. And but what does this, you know, what can this, the book of Jonah actually tell us this morning? And I've, you know, over the last few months, my wife and myself have been looking at these smaller, shorter books of the Bible, and Jonah is one of them that is only 48 verses again. You can read it in like 10 minutes, and you at the end. But Jonah is probably the worst missionary the world has ever seen. Now, he's running from God, and at the end he's arguing with God, and in between he's praying only for himself. And then he preaches a sermon that's only 8 words long. That's all he did. But, you know, maybe it's still amazing that it's the only prophet, or the minor prophet, that Jesus mentions by name. You know, so there must have been something in the book of Jonah that obviously also speaks about Jesus. The book of Jonah starts with the first verse says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai." Now, a lot of the books in the Bible, they start like this way, you know. The word of the Lord came to Habakkuk. The word of the Lord came to Hosea. Or, you know, and it came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And the word to him is, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Now this, I don't know what Jonah was doing before, but just this one day he sits there and this word comes and it changes his life. You know, it's probably there are things that in your life, you know, either you drive along with the car and you get a phone call and it's good news or it's bad news and it changes your life. Or somebody tells you, you know, you've got this sickness and it changes the way you think. You know, and it's, and this is what happened to Jonah. Just 3 words, "Go to Nineveh," and he knew, you know, Nineveh is a place that is evil. Now, it's a place, it was the capital of Assyria, and it was, you know, I read up a little bit there about it, and that it was actually, you know, if you think the stuff that ISIS does these days is bad, then it's probably mild against what they did. But now, you know, I wanted to look, as we go through this book, just how does this book actually speak to us? You know, and it says there to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh." What would be our Nineveh today? You know, and I kind of think the places that we, you know, that we don't want to go to. It pulls us out of our comfort zone. You know, and maybe you know you need to, you need to go there. You need to maybe speak to your family or your boss or friend or whatever, but you just don't want to go there because it pulls you out of your comfort zone. But you know, and it's something where you maybe say, you know, I just want to turn away. I just don't let me ignore this. I don't want to turn away, and that's exactly what Jonah did. You know, if we go to verse 3, and I'm not going to go through all 48 verses, don't worry. You know, we sang just now, time is in his hands, okay? Not in my hands, you know. So, the time is in his hands. So what is verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, I've got a map there, which I put up there. And you can see Jonah was very close to Jerusalem, where in the middle of the screen there. And Nineveh is 800 kilometers from Jerusalem. So it's not like just go to Walvis Bay, you know. It's go like 800 kilometers. And that's kind of to the northeast. Then what he did is he went down to the coast. That's why it says he went down to Joppa. And Joppa is Tel Aviv these days. And he went down there to look for a boat to head west. You know, now you see the arrow disappearing in the distance there, 3,200 kilometers, you know, to the other side. Here's another map. You can see how far, where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to Spain. You know, it's Gibraltar, actually. That's where he wanted to go. So God says, go east, and he kind of goes west. Now, you know, when we run from God, and that's kind of the second point that I see here, you know, is that, or really, you know, when it first, it says Jonah went down to Joppa. So that's already an indication, you know, as soon as you flee from God, you're going to go down, you know, and it says later he went down into the hull of the ship. He went down into the ocean, and he went down into the belly of the great fish. But when we run from God, you know, when God says go east and we go west, that's when the thing is, and it might be just a word here, but I'm kind of looking at and saying, you know, that is what happened to Jonah as well. He went down. You know, as soon as he didn't obey the word of God, he went down. And it's also, you know, when we run from God, we are bound to go down. And then you see that he goes to this town of Joppa. And, oh, there's a boat. You know, there wasn't a boat going every day to Spain. You know, so when you're going and turning away from the Lord, you know, I think Satan is quite happy to provide that transport. And so he did with Jonah. And, you know, just the transport was there immediately. He could pay. He had the finances to pay, and he went. And I'm sure if somebody would have asked him, why are you going to Tarshish? You know, and he would have said, oh, the people over there, you know, they need the Lord, and I'm a prophet. I need to go there, and I've prayed about it, and I've got peace in my heart about it, and, you know. But he was actually running away from the Lord. And that is, you know, when we run away from the Lord, there's always this, also these excuses that we can make up very quickly. We say, you know, the Lord told me to go this way or that way. And we find all kinds of, and that is what happened in his life as well. Now, he didn't express it at the time, but we will see later the excuses that he did come up with. And why did, you know, one can ask, why didn't God intervene right there and said, look, I've told you to go this way, you're going that way. I take you out, I won't make a boat available. But, you know, when we read the story that Jesus told with the prodigal son, you know, he went and the father didn't go after him. Now, even when he was in the pigsty, you know, the father didn't go and take him out there, because he would probably have said, you know, I was about to establish a bacon industry and you took me out of it and you prevented me from doing this. But he left him and he came back. And it's almost the same here with Jonah. God allows him to go. You know, he has called him, and he allows him to go. And he actually, you know, when we run away from God, you know, it doesn't affect us only. Often it affects our family, it affects our friends, it affects our children. You know, when we sin, it doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us as well. And that's what I see here as well. You know, the Lord asked Jonah, go to this place because the people needed him there, but he goes the other way. Now, it's amazing that when he then goes onto this boat, that, you know, there's the storm comes up, and he is sitting in the bottom hiding there, and the other guys, the pagans, are on top there trying to steer the ship, and he's like sleeping in the bottom. And then they come to him, and they ask him, you know, why aren't you praying? You know, pray to your God that we will be saved. And he was actually trying to hide that he's a prophet. He didn't want to show that he's a man of God. And that is, you know, something that I think we can learn from this as well, from this story. You know, that the people that did not know God, they actually come to Jonah and say, pray. And there are a lot of people out there that want us to be the Christian that you say you are. You know, they're actually waiting for you to be, you know, you kind of, you know, I find that at times, you know, you're in this, you know, oh, I don't want to upset the apple cart now. I don't want to say that. You know, I know I need to say something, but, you know, and here with Jonah, he's actually hiding. And so the people start throwing a dice there to see, you know, where the lot will fall onto, because they believe that is the person that has caused the storm. And strangely enough, it falls on Jonah, you know, and He then, you know, and I have this verse from Proverbs there, and I've put a kind of the way I would almost read it, like life is like the roll of a dice, but God is in charge of how the numbers come. You know, it's and in this case again, you know, we might run from God, but He is. You know, he directs, if directed, in this case he directed Jonah's path. And I think there are many people out there that want us, and this is what I want to encourage you, be the Christian that you say you are. You know, live like one, act like one, you know, talk like one, pray like one. Because the world out there, like here, they wanted him to pray. But here he's hiding. And I think in our circumstances, so many times we are quiet and we don't realize how people actually want us to say something. They want us to pray. You know, I've had the experience with my brother-in-law, you know, that it was only on the deathbed that almost we realized how much he wanted us to pray with him. You know, and it's like, ah, but he's not a Christian, and he's like this and like that, and, you know, and yet he was waiting that I pray with him, that my wife and myself pray with him. And I think we need to rather say and talk and let God take care of the consequences than stay quiet. And in this case here, Jonah just stayed quiet, and then, obviously, he then confessed. You know, he said, look, I'm a prophet. I'm running away from God. And, you know, I'm amazed that, you know, at the words, you know, it says here, you know, Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? You know, this kind of, why have you done this? Why are you fleeing from God and why aren't you praying? Because they asked him, please, you know, pray. And then they throw him overboard. He actually says, throw me overboard. And they didn't want to do it at first. They first then say, Lord, because they know he's a man of God. They say, Lord, please don't hold us accountable. And eventually he says, no, throw me overboard. And he's thrown overboard and the storm goes quiet. Now, you know, Jonah obviously thought this is the end, he's going to die. But the Lord prepared a way out and he sent that fish that swallowed him. And, you know, I think this prayer inside the fish, from inside the fish, Jonah prays, and I've got the verse up there, what he's praying. He says there, you know, in my distress, you know, I called the Lord, and he answered me. You see there, from the depths of the, you know, from the ocean, he calls on the Lord, and the Lord answers him. He actually, you know, he calls for help, and the Lord listens. And, you know, it's something that nothing clears the mind. You know, there's a saying that says, nothing clears the mind like certain knowledge that you're going to be shot tomorrow. You know, it's suddenly, who's going to wash the car? It's not, you know, suddenly not that important anymore. Or the way the toilet roll is on the thing is not that important anymore. You know, it's suddenly Jonah is brought to his senses. And I think in the same way, if we are running from the Lord, it's never too late to stop. To stop and call on him. You know, if you're running, it's never too late to stop. And there are so many scriptures that I'll only have three up there. The one from Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And the same way Jonah found mercy as he called out to God. And if we obviously know the words of Jesus, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And God desires the truth in our inward parts. And I, you know, when Jonah was there, he thought, this is it, it's the end. But he calls out to God and he confesses that he has done the wrong thing. And his prayer to God at the time, and I've got it up there, you know, it's he says there, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Now, it's actually good sometimes that we have times of desperation, because that's the time when we turn to God. You know, if Jonah had a nice trip to Tarshish, to Spain, you know, he would not have turned. He would not have turned to God. It's there's so many testimonies that you see people in distress, desperation. And if they turn in desperation to God, praise be to God for the desperation that came along their way. So, you know, it's something that we must realize when we run away from God, there's always time to turn around. And in this year, in Jonah's case, the Lord made a way out. And obviously, as we know, the fish spewed him onto the beach. And look, I've cleaned many fish, and I tell you, he must have been quite slimy. And I think he sat there on the beach, washed himself, and then the Lord speaks a second time to him. You know, in chapter 3, we're now in chapter 3 already. There are only four chapters. Chapter 3 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So, praise God for a second time. You know, there's that we so often get a second chance. Jonah got a second chance. There are some examples in the Bible of people who did not get a second chance. You know, if we think of Ananias and Sapphira, there was no second chance, or Lot's wife. You know, but here, the Lord always wants to show mercy, as we will also see a little bit later on. You know, it's, you know, we might say, for Jonah, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that the Lord hasn't given up on him, but the bad news is he still has to go to Nineveh. You know, he has to, and now he's even further away. You know, now he's at the beach, and it's more than 800 kilometers that he has to go. You know, sometimes we think, okay, he's spewed out onto the beach there, and then he just walks across to the city and talks to the people. No, it's a journey of a long, long journey, and he has to go. And, you know, he, in his heart, he still not did, he didn't want to go. But now, you know, he prayed in the fish. He prayed, Lord, salvation comes from you, and I will do anything, you know, that you ask me to do. And that's what his prayer says. And now he actually has to go. And he makes that journey, and he comes to that city, and eight words. He says eight words. That's all he says. He says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's all that he, that's his sermon, you know. He says 40 more days, and he goes around and says 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's all he said, eight words, and the biggest revival probably in one day has ever occurred happened there. Because the next verse says, the Ninevites believed God, you know, and they proclaimed a fast. Where a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. 120,000 people lived there, and they all turned to God. Now, he didn't even want to preach that eight-word sermon, and yet you can see that's what I see there, a small obedience is always beats any great intentions. You know, we can say, look, I want to, yes, I'm going to go there, and I want to go with, and good intentions, but when it actually comes to the point, we don't go. And here, we must actually give Jonah credit that he did take that journey. He went there and said the eight words that he didn't really want to say, and the whole city repents. You know, and it's, so, to me, it just, you know, sometimes we may feel, because, you know, what Jonah felt in his heart is that these people don't deserve. They are so evil, they don't deserve it. You know, and you might feel maybe sometimes the same about some people, yet God wants us to go to this Nineveh and talk, you know, say the words. And it's that small step of obedience always beats great intentions, because we don't know what God will do, how he will touch people. And it's the same that, you know, I shared earlier with my brother-in-law, you know, it's, you know, I didn't know that he wanted to listen to the message, you know, and it's the same way that when you don't know that, you know, should I say something, shouldn't I say something, a small step of obedience, you know, like Jonah, can change a whole city. And perhaps we are closer to an awakening than we imagine. And I think we just need to be open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think if we, you know, the testimony that was given here this morning, we're also busy with the 40-day the prayer challenge, and one of the things on one of the days says, you know, you don't rely on somebody else's testimony. You know, don't rely on that. Have your own. because by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome. You know, and so as soon as we're obedient, that's when we have a testimony, like Jonah would have had. But now, we'll go to chapter 4, and you know, it's almost like you would say, how we love it when a plan comes together. You know, if we look at the story, Jonah gets called, Jonah runs away, he almost drowns, he's saved, he goes to the city where he doesn't believe they will change, they all change, and you would think he would go down on his knees and say, Lord, thank you for saving me, thank you for saving the city, but no, his words are quite different. In chapter 4, we can read it there. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. In the belly of the fish, he prayed for himself, Lord, save me, let me live. Now he says, after he's seen the miracle, he says, God, let me die, because he doesn't believe that the people deserve it. But you know, it's quite strange. The book ends almost with hanging in the air there, that, you know, he walks away there, he goes into the desert because he's far away from the ocean, he sits down and he says, you know, that he wants to die, and the Lord lets a vine grow so that he's got some shade, so he's very happy about the shade, and then the Lord sends a worm and the vine dies, and he's out there in the east wind and in the sun, and he gets cross that the vine has died. You know? And then the Lord says to him, you know, you get cross about the vine dying, but you don't rejoice that 120,000 people were on their way to a lost eternity, but you actually get cross that I showed compassion to them. So the book really lets us, puts that last little thing there to Jonah, and that's how it almost ends. You know, that the last verse is basically there saying, you know, the Lord telling him, you know, I showed compassion because I cared for those people. And it's actually amazing. I find it quite amazing in the book of Jonah that the people that were the pagans, the evil people, responded quicker to the word of God than Jonah. Jonah was called. Jonah was saved. Jonah was called again. And in almost duress, he went there and preached the word, and the people turned. So I just want to end with, again, with these three questions, statements, you know. God loves Nineveh. God loves even the people that we believe should, like Jonah thought, the people of Nineveh should be destroyed. You know, God loves, that's why he came. That's why I think, you know, when the word says that Jesus used Jonah, he said, you know, you will only get one sign. That's the sign of Jonah, that he rose again from the dead. God, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead to save the lost. And that is, you know, God loves, he wants all people to come to salvation. And that is just something that we need to take on from this book, from this prophet, that, you know, it might be your neighbor, it might be your boss, it might be whoever. Do not stay quiet. Where is your Nineveh today? I put there. And then secondly, you know, God is still willing to do whatever it takes to get you there. You know, like he made a way open for Jonah. God has made, you know, given us the Holy Spirit to go and bring the message to those that need it. What will God have to do that we don't want to wait for the stormy sea or being swallowed up by a fish? You know, I don't think we have to wait for that. We have the Holy Spirit as our helper to go into those places where we may think, no, I don't want to go there. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to go there. And then thirdly, Nineveh needs you, the place that only you can go. There are places that the pastor here will never go. There's only places where you can go in your family. It might be you might be the only one that brings that message there. And so, you know, from this book of Jonah, I think we can learn the message that we should, you know, when there's a call upon our life, that we should go, because we never know what God has already prepared. He's already prepared the people like he prepared those people of Nineveh. And I thought, you know, why did Jesus, you know, particularly mention this? I know it's also got to do some with the raising from the dead, but I then thought, you know, I can almost take the verse from the New Testament, for God so loved Nineveh that he gave his only son, that whoever in Nineveh believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, and so God so loved those that are on their way, like the people of Nineveh, for God had compassion on them. And it's in the same, you know, we pray it often, you know, to see radical salvations like Jonah saw. Now, he wasn't that excited about it, but to see people that are on their way to a lost eternity to hear the message of the gospel and be saved. So, you know, this morning, I know this is a, you know, it's only three pages, well, not even three, two and a half. But as one looks at it, one can also see a bit. I could see a bit sometimes I walk away from, you know, even this preaching here. Sometimes I said to Ruan, who was preaching in Afrikaans, I said, can't we swap? Then I'm finished and you can go on. You know, it's almost like Jonah, you know, running away from where I need to go. I just want to encourage you that, you know, I said to my wife actually that I wanted to preach about the joy of the Lord. That's what's actually, you know, we sang here, you know, the whole world sings about his joy. And too often we actually feel like the pressure of the world, and we as Christians, we've got all this pressure to, but there should be joy in our lives because we've got the Holy Spirit to guide us and to, you know, even with this year, you know, that what we saw this morning, as I said, you know, as we go into those places where we don't want to go because, you know, the Lord is with you. And if he's with you, who can be against you? And there can be a joy. We should display that joy to those that do not know him. So I want to just pray, but also ask, you know, that I don't know whether there are, you know, what your circumstances are and whether you even know the Lord. You know, that is, you know, only you know that. And if there is, you know, I'm not going to call anyone to the front, but I'll be at the front. And if there is, you know, want to pray, and there are others that can pray also with you. But, you know, if you feel that you've been running away from something and you want to make a commitment that you, I mean, I know Jonah also made a commitment and then it was hard to go. And I'm not saying that things just change like that, but you need to have that understanding and the courage that the Lord is with you. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you did not turn around, but you came. Lord, even the death on a cross. Lord, if you had, when that cup seemed very difficult for you to take, Lord, you took it so that we can stand here this morning, gather around your word, Lord, and know that you are with us. Lord, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we can just come, Lord, go into the places that sometimes we don't want to go into with the full knowledge, Lord, that you are with us. And Father, we can give those circumstances, those words into your hands. Lord, we know that you've got things prepared that we don't even understand, Lord. Father, I want to thank you this morning that we can also leave this place knowing that we can go out into our place of work, into our school, or wherever we are, Lord, with our heads high, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.